or you got a prayer burden this morning, or you know somebody that needs prayer this morning. Probably a lot of us, all of us here, know somebody that needs prayer. And very likely you're here this morning and you need prayer and you got a special prayer request. You know what, beloved? Can I share personal testimony? There have been times in my life that I can look back, to God be the glory, and see that had it not have been for somebody else that would come alongside me to pray with me about a certain matter, the answer did not come. It was almost as if God was looking for somebody else to agree with me about a matter. And as soon as that agreement came, the breakthrough came. You know, there's some of us today that need somebody to agree with you. You've been praying about something for a while. I'll tell you, today is the day that you can have somebody to agree with you about this matter. And see God Almighty bring the answer for His glory. And speaking of prayer and answered prayer, does the name Amy Copeland ring a bell? Her daddy, his name is Andy Copeland. I don't know the couple, but I do know that I've been reading the paper about Amy Copeland had this terrible accident where she had fallen and developed this flesh-eating bacteria that actually has caused the medical world to amputate her left leg completely, her right foot, and then her fingers and her hands on both hands have been amputated. I read an article 5 days ago, June the 5th, about Amy Copeland. Can you imagine how it would be for no hands, one leg gone and a foot gone? And here's how she described it. She said, it's like I'm carrying around rocks. She was experiencing the phantom pains of having her hands and her feet and her leg removed. She said, it's like I'm carrying around rocks and I can't let go of them. She said, I'm experiencing these phantom pains. And actually, she went on to say that because of her distress and because of her ordeal, that she was growing angry. And she could not get peace. Now, you can imagine waking up to seeing all of this happening in your life. It's hard for us to relate to that unless you've been through that. But here's what the daddy said 5 days ago, June the 5th. He said the breakthrough came when she began to pray. And she put her life in the hands of the Lord. And here's what she said. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And the daddy wrote in the paper that peace came when Amy prayed. Peace was not there before she prayed. There was no peace. There was anger. There was frustration, you can imagine. Understandably so. But it was the peace of God that passes all understanding she experienced only after she prayed. There's some of us today that we hadn't been praying about some stuff and we're not experiencing God's peace and we're not experiencing the joy of the Lord. And I believe the Lord is telling us today that we just need to pray about that thing. You hadn't been praying about it. Maybe you've been trying to handle it yourself, or maybe there's some kind of anger in your heart. Maybe you've not been putting that person on the altar. And speaking of praying for people, you know who needs prayer? If you don't pray for anybody else today, would you lift up the name of Kathy Yarborough? I'll assure you she needs prayer. Her son's life is weighing in the balance right now as we speak up in Emory Hospital. He's either 46 or 47 years old, and he is just basically just hanging in there. They told Kathy, they said, if he's put on the ventilator, he will. They told her this at Emory County Hospital over in McDonough. If he's put on the ventilator, he will not come off. They told her at Emory, once they transferred him up there, due to the lack of ability to facilities down in Henry County, they said to her, there's a slight chance he may come off. Well, the first thing that happened when he got up to Emory was he had to be put on the ventilator. Right now, it's a touch-and-go situation. She's staying up there, sleeping up there, and you can imagine there's a window right next to his room. He's laying in the bed there. Sometimes they draw the curtain, sometimes they don't. She's sitting right there, sleeping there. I'm telling you, Kathy Yarborough needs our prayers. And if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. Answer to prayer. God answers prayer. God's been speaking to our heart this week about the power. Prayer power is the need of the hour. Prayer power is the need of the hour. That's the message, that's the title of the message today that God has got on my heart. Prayer power is the need of the hour. How many believe that God answers prayer? Let me see your hand. I believe the Lord answers prayer according to His will, according to His purpose, for His glory and His glory alone. But you know what, beloved? Sometimes we don't really think that God answers our prayer. And let me prove it. Why aren't you praying about more? I'll tell you, we don't really believe that God's going to answer our prayers. And oftentimes we don't pray if we have not because we ask not, James said. But God answers prayer according to His will. I heard about a Sunday school class that had several children in there, and the Sunday school teacher said to the Sunday school class, said, I want y'all to pray for a certain missionary, Brother Brown. He's over across the world, and he really needs our prayers. And she said, I want you to write him a note and tell Brother Brown that you're praying for him. Well, the students began to sit down and write the note, and then the teacher added, by the way, Brother Brown, he's very, very busy, so he's probably not going to answer us back in a letter. But go ahead and tell him you're praying for him anyway. One little girl wrote a letter, and she said, Dear Brother Brown, I just wanted to know, tell you that we are praying for you, but we don't expect an answer. We're praying for you, but we don't expect an answer. Sometimes, unfortunately, that's the way we are with God. We're praying, but we don't expect an answer. God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show the great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And speaking of God answering prayer, and thank God, God rewards when we join Him to see what He wants to do, and then watch Him lay bare His mighty arm of power. Speaking of answered prayer, I heard about a preacher and a cab driver that went to heaven both together. That is a taxi cab driver. And the taxi cab driver stood before God, and the preacher stood before God, and it was at the judgment seat of Christ whereby they were going to be rewarded. And so the Lord said to the preacher, he's been preaching 40 years, said, well done. But to the taxi cab driver, he said, not only well done, but you get rewards above and beyond the preacher. The preacher couldn't believe it. He said, man, I've been preaching 40 years, and I'm not even getting the rewards that a taxi cab driver's getting. What's the deal? And then the story goes that the angel said to the taxi cab driver, the preacher said, preacher, you see, when you preached down there on earth, people were sleeping. But when the taxi cab driver was driving, people were praying. Now, I hope you're not going to sleep this morning, amen. Prayer power is the need of the hour. Can I challenge you? Will you take this challenge? Today, I challenge you in the name of Jesus. Some of you are going to take it up, some of you not. I challenge you to go a little further, go a little higher, go a little deeper in your prayer life. Some of you are not even spending time every day with the Lord in prayer. For that reason, I'm going to challenge you. Will you purpose in your heart today that you're going to start praying every day, not just when you have a need, not just when a crisis comes up, but every day you're going to spend time at the throne of grace. I'll tell you, if you'll do it, you'll begin to watch God do some great things in your life more than you've seen before. And some of you are spending every day in prayer, but let me challenge you to go a little further. Let me challenge you to go a little deeper. Let me challenge you to go a little higher. You say, well, I spent about 5 minutes in prayer or a few minutes in prayer. Let me just encourage you to spend a little bit more time in prayer. I know quality is better than quantity, but I'll tell you, there's nothing replaces quantity. You don't believe it. Listen to me, beloved. Prayer is work. I'm convinced that's why we don't pray more. It's work when you sit down and begin to try to focus on God and the will of God. Your mind will go in 100 different directions, and you begin to think about all the things you need to do. And that's why it takes discipline. But God wants us to be disciplined in our prayer life. And I want to challenge you today. How many will take the challenge and say, Brother Pastor, I'm going to go a little further. I'm going to go a little deeper. I'm going to go a little higher and watch God do great things, not only in my life, but in my family's life and in those around me. Will you take that challenge? In a moment, you'll be responsible for taking that challenge. But until then, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 18. Stand together as we read one or two verses from the Word of God, Matthew chapter 18. You remember in the book of Matthew, Matthew is primarily writing to the Jews. And yet, there is so much in this gospel account. In chapter 17, the Lord Jesus told His disciples about the power of prayer and fasting. There was a defeated disciples. They were discouraged in chapter 17. Then there was a doubting daddy. He was down in the dumps. But a deadly demon was destroying this boy of this daddy. And then the divine deliverer came and delivered. Jesus said it this way. He said, some things only come by prayer and fasting. I believe that with all my heart. If we really get serious and get earnest and get down to business with God, God will start doing a whole lot more in our life. And we'll praise him forever and ever and ever because he's worthy. But we find in Matthew chapter 18, in the first part of Matthew 18, the Lord is teaching concerning faith of a little child. And then he moves and he talks about finding freedom and forgiveness. But we're really going to zero in on two verses today. It's famous. That is, many of you know it by heart. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. And here is the great words of our Lord in regards to prayer. Prayer power, the need of the hour. If you're in Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20, would you say amen? Look at the words of our Lord. Verse 19, again I say unto you that if two of you, notice, underline that, if two of you shall agree, underline that, shall agree on earth, as touching anything, that they shall ask, and then underline this, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Let's ask God to bless us. Let's ask God to open our spiritual eyes and our hearts and our wills and our emotions and yea, our total being. Father, now we come to your throne of grace. Thank you, Jesus. Teach me to pray. Teach us to pray. Help us, Lord, to go further, higher, deeper, longer. Help us, Lord, to follow you with all of our heart as you empower us, Lord. Power's the need of the hour. Lord, no wonder we're leaving in a chaotic and a confused world. And trouble on every side. Oh, God, it's such a blessing that you saved us by your blood. And Lord, it's just such a privilege to join you and see you manifest your glory and stretch forth your hand of power and save the lost and revive the saved and change hearts and open doors that are closed and close doors that are open. God, we bless you today that you're the living God of heaven and earth. And we praise you today that you have a throne that's forever set in heaven. And God, we ask now, Father, for those special prayer requests on our heart, those that our Lord, you know, need some breakthroughs today in the matter of prayer, all for your glory, Lord. We pray that you'll, Lord, honor your word. God, we know you honor your word. You said your word forever set in heaven, and help us to line up with you and line up with your word and watch you, dear God, do great and mighty things. And we'll thank and praise you. Save the lost, I pray again. If anybody here is not a Christian, Lord, zero in on them. And if those that are Christians, Father, we pray that you'll just give us great grace in these days to keep persevering and keep running the race and keep fighting the good fight of faith. And looking up because our redemption draws nigh. Until we see you one day face to face. Thank you now for all you've done in Vacation Bible School. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done and are doing in your church. Lord, it's just a thrill and a privilege to see what you're doing. God, keep us in unity. Keep us in harmony. Keep us loving each other. Keep us forgiving each other. Keep us, Father, praying for each other. Keep our God, the fresh oil in our hearts. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Prayer power, the need of the hour. Prayer power, the need of the hour. And I believe there's three parts to this formula that the Lord Jesus laid out right here in Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. Three parts to this prayer formula, if you will, that's going to bring you a breakthrough in your prayer life. Three parts to this formula. The Lord spoke to me this week about this particular passage. And here's the three parts of the prayer formula. You ready for them? Here they are. Number one, double duty. Number one, double duty. But number two, perfect unity. Not only double duty, but perfect unity. If two of you shall agree. If two, there's the double duty. If two, there's the double duty. Double duty, number two, perfect unity. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, there's the perfect unity. If two of you, double duty, perfect unity, guess what? Double duty plus perfect unity equals absolute victory. Absolute victory. There's the three parts that God spoke to my heart as we look in this passage and pray the Spirit of God will bless us and encourage us and urge us on so much more as the day approaches. Perfect unity. First, double duty. Second, perfect unity. Third, absolute victory. And the victory is, Jesus said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask. Here it is. It shall be done for them. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. It shall be done for them. There's the absolute victory. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Number one, double duty. Follow with me a minute as we break down the text. Jesus said, if two of you, that's me and you. Hello, that's me and you. Hello, that's me and you. That's just me and you. That's just two. He didn't say 200. He didn't say 2,000. He didn't even say 20. He said just two, me and you. We can agree if we'll come together, me and you, double duty. If two of you shall do what? First, double duty. Now, in this matter of double duty, two of us together, here's the matter. Sometimes we need a breakthrough, and I believe there's some of you today, some of us today need a breakthrough. And the Lord spoke to my heart about several breakthroughs, two places we need breakthroughs. Number one, when we're going through the wilderness, we need God to break through to set a table before us as we're in the wilderness. When we're going through a wilderness, we need a breakthrough. Is there anybody here that's going through a wilderness in your life? The psalmist in Psalm 78, he looked back on the history of Israel, his story. And here's what he saw. He saw that Israel, God had delivered them with his mighty hand, though they had been in bondage for 430 years. And then the Lord led them out, and the Lord said, I'm going to lead you in. But because of some of the disobedience among the people of God, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and many of them died off, and yet God still allowed the promise to be fulfilled because of their unbelief, because of their doubt, because of their lack of faith. God says, I'm not going to let you enter into Canaan land. But notice, they were in the wilderness. The wilderness also has a good purpose. Listen to me. Some of you are in a wilderness. You wonder if you're going to make your ends meet. You wonder, are you ever going to get a better job? You wonder if that child's ever going to get right with God. Some of you are in a wilderness right now. You're just saying, my health, I just don't know if I'm going to ever get over this or not. Or maybe there's some other wilderness. Maybe you just kind of are going through the motions. You're in a wilderness. Listen to the promise of Psalm 78. God said, I'll set a table before you when you're in the wilderness. How many know that when you're going through a tough time and when you're going through a trial in your life, God is faithful. He said, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. God said, I'm going to be with you. And not only that, I'll give you a table. I'll feed you from my table when you're in the wilderness. I'm going to show my mighty hand as you're wandering in the wilderness. There are two wonderful blessings when we're in the wilderness that the Lord spoke to my heart about. Number one is for direction. When you're in the wilderness, we all need direction. Can I get an amen? We all need direction. Some of you today are wondering about the will of God about something. I'm wondering if I should do this. I'm wondering if I should do this. I'm praying about this, but I'm not really sure. When you're in the wilderness, God gives us, number one, direction. Number two, God gives provision. When we're in his will, sometimes we do have to go through the wilderness. God told them in Deuteronomy 8 that the Lord had all that planned out. And God was molding them, and God was making them, and God was bringing them through. I'm telling you today, the Lord is going to bring you through too. You believe that? I said that God is going to bring you through too. He's a faithful God. Bless his holy name. But number one is direction, and number two is provision. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. David of old said, once I was young, but now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither his seed begging bread. And that's in Psalm 37, verse 25. So God's going to see you through. God's going to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is complete or perfect toward him. And so we go through wilderness. We go through a trying time. But the Lord said, I'm going to set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And speaking of going through a hard time, I had somebody to come to me here recently last week. And they said, Brother Pastor, remember now, Jesus said, if two of you, If two of you, me and you, not everybody that's here, just me and you, if you'll agree with me and you'll be right with God, walking in the light. And even sometimes I've noticed in the past when I wasn't right with God, when somebody come alongside me that was right with God, I began to get right with God. And then the Lord began to open the doors because somebody was willing to pray for me. Can I get a witness in the house? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we hadn't always been in the will of God. We hadn't been always full of the Holy Ghost. And we need somebody to agree with us together. And therefore, when we're going through a wilderness, this person came to me not long ago and said, "Brother Pastor, will you pray for me? I'm going through a hard time." Said, "I'm confused. I'm hearing these voices." And if the truth be known, a lot of us, the devil is trying to beat us black and blue. If the truth was known about a lot of us, the devil's been on our back all week long. Come on, if the truth was known about a lot of us, we'd say, "Man, I'm fighting the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and it's like I can hardly..." I'm telling you this, as closer you get to Jesus, the more the devil's going to fight you. But that's all right. He's already got you. If you're not close to Jesus, you might as well go get as close as you can to the Lord, because he's going to ruin your life either way. Now, he's going to try to when you're close to the Lord, but he can't, thank God, because he can't because greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. This person said, "Will you pray with me, Pastor?" I said, "I'll be glad to pray with you." We agreed together. If two of you, and I sense the presence of God coming. I'm telling you, God's real and God answers prayer. The power, need for the hour. Prayer power, the need for the hour. And I mean prayer, that the right kind of praying, not the wrong kind of praying. The kind of praying that watches God Almighty do things that we can't do as he uses available vessels for his glory. So number one, we're going through a wilderness. But number two, double duty. It helps, number two, not only when we're in a wilderness, but when we're in a dry spell. Is there anybody here that's in a dry spell? When we're going through a dry spell, when we need the rain to fall, God is good to bring the rain, to replenish us, to renew us. I can't hear you. To refresh us, to revive us. I can't hear you. I said, God, when we go through troubled times and when we're in a dry spell, some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been in a dry spell. You've been reading your Bible and it just doesn't have the meaning that it did. Sometimes you're reading, you're just not focused on it. And maybe sometimes you get down to praying and you're just you feel sleepy and you feel tired and you can't hardly stay awake. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You're going through a dry spell, but I'm telling you, when we go through a dry spell, God's true and God's sure. If two of you that bring the rain that's needed, to bring the refreshment that's needed. I'm looking at a man right now in my mind's eye. His name is Elijah. He was up on Mount Carmel, but before he went to Mount Carmel, God said to Elijah, "Go and show yourself," 1 Kings chapter 17. And then he said, go hide yourself first and then go show yourself. 1 Kings chapter 17, he's over there at the brook of Cherith. You remember the story. And God had a plan and purpose for him. But what do you do when the brook dries up? His brook dried up. Have you ever been through a dry spell? Have you ever been through a dry spell? And you're wondering, where, God, are you? What are you up to in my life? Why am I not getting the breakthrough? Elijah was going through a dry spell in his life. But I want you to know that God said, "I want you to go over to the widow of Zarephath and I'll provide your needs there." When a brook dries up, God's got another door he can open. I can't hear you. I said, when the brook dries up, when it seems like nothing else will work, you agree with somebody else. You say, "God, I know you're strong and mighty. I know, God, you got a plan and purpose. I need somebody to agree with me together. If two of you, Jesus said. Next thing you know, Elijah's on the Mount of Carmel and he's challenging 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Grove, and God sent the fire. When the fire falls, the Lord's glorified. When the fire falls, the saints are purified. And when the fire falls, the devil's crowd's horrified. God sent the fire. You ever been in a dry spell? Next thing you know, watch this now. Follow the progression in the life of Elijah. I'm talking about prayer power, the need of the hour. And there's Elijah, and after the great victory on Mount Carmel, you know what he ends up doing? James says in James chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17, he said Elijah was a man and had like passions like we do. And you know what he said? God gave Elijah the faith and the power to pray. And guess what happened? It didn't rain for 3.5 years. You just think it's dry now. 3.5 years, not a drop of rain fell to the earth. And Elijah goes up on the mountain. Can you see him in your mind's eye? I can see him as he gets with his servant. He's going up on the mountain. He said the rain's coming. He saw with the eye of faith. He believed with the heart of faith. He received with the hand of faith. He had wings like a bird, an eagle, and he flew straight to the throne of God. I'm telling you, faith is not believing God can. Faith is believing God will. I'm telling you this. Faith is not seeing in order to believe. Faith is believing, then you'll see. I can't hear you. I need to say that again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We say, well, if I see it, I can believe it. God said, you're never going to see it because you're not believing it. If you'll believe it, then you'll see it. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Elijah said to his buddy, if two of you, he said to his buddy, he said, come on, let's get up here on the mountain. He said, the rain's coming. I know it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, but the rain's coming. What do you mean the rain's coming? There's not a cloud in the sky. Rain's not coming, man. People are saying, you're crazy, Elijah. You're crazy. But Elijah went upon that mountain. He put his head between his knees. He began to call out to the same God that you've got and I've got. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm telling you, he's not changed. You know what? He said to his servant, go and see, the rain's coming. Servant said, I don't see any rain. One time, two times, three times, four times, five times, six times. On the seventh time, the man said, if two of you shall agree, if two of you, he said, I see a cloud. It's the size of a man's hand. I can see it in the distance. Elijah said, come on, the rain's coming. Here comes the rain. Here's a man that prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And all of a sudden he prayed and God opened up the heavens. I'd say that was a supernatural miracle, wouldn't you? Oh, brother, listen, James says about Elijah. He said about you and me. He said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James chapter 5 and verse 17. The effectual, fervent, listen to me, the effectual, fervent prayer. That's not a little... Oh, lay me down to sleep, pray. That's the reason maybe we're not getting, seeing God do more in our life. We got to get out of the baby school and baby pool and this thing of praying. The effectual fervent. You know what that word fervent means? Red hot. The effectual fervent prayer. Red hot. The effectual fervent prayer. Not of anybody, but of a righteous man. Dikaios is the word. It means someone who's walking with God. Not that they're anything of the self. It's all of grace anyway. Can I get an amen? Amen. The effectual fervent. Don't you want to be that man? Don't you want to be that woman? The effectual fervent prayer. Watch this. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, listen to me, availeth much. That means it's got a lot of strength. That's what the word availeth much means. It's a strong prayer. I don't know about y'all, but when I need an answer, I need a breakthrough, I'm not just going to go to anybody. I'm going to go to some folks that I know walking with God when I need a breakthrough. Can I get an amen? There's some people around you that if it's up to you to get a hold of God. I'm telling you, Jesus said if two of you, why would he have said that if he didn't mean it? If two of you should agree, there's some of your kinfolks, there's some of your children, some of our grandchildren, some of our neighbors and some of our friends, they need a breakthrough. And you come to church, you come to Sunday school, but the question is, can God trust you to pray? Can God trust you to be clean, a clean vessel? So you watch Almighty God do some things He wouldn't normally do in people's lives around you, and He'll get the glory for it because He deserves the glory. God's so good. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not only during times of going through the wilderness and going through a dry spell, God will send the rain. Can I just drop a personal testimony right now at this point? How many remember back there in 2006 when God put it on our heart to begin to pray for 25 families? How many remember that? How many remember that? You know, God is a God that works on His timetable. And I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here, some of you may not have prayed about that, but I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here, God is answering those prayers. We ought to be shouting right now. We ought to be giving Him glory. We ought to be saying, hallelujah, my Redeemer lives. When God begins to do things that only He can do, it calls for us to rejoice in the Lord. You see, some of us are like those 10 lepers. The Lord showed me that last week. 9 left and never again come back and give thanks to God. God's been good to you. God's been blessing you. God's been providing for you, and you hadn't given Him glory, and you hadn't been praising Him, and you hadn't been thanking Him. And today you just need to break out of your shell of doubt and concern about what other people think and start giving God the glory, because He's answered prayer and He's worthy of glory. Amen and amen and amen. And bless His holy name. The first part of the formula to prayer power, the need for the hour, is one, double duty. Can I find somebody to agree with me today? Will you agree with me? If two of you, will you be the second person? If two of you, can I get somebody? Can I get, will you? If two of you. Number two, not only double duty, but notice number two, perfect unity. Look at the text again. If two of you shall agree on earth, shall agree on earth. Don't miss it. Shall agree on earth. It's not just getting somebody to pray with you. It's getting somebody who will agree with you, who'll have the same mind, who had the same heart, who come alongside you and say, brother, I agree with you. Sister, I agree with you. That is harmonizing. That is unifying. That is coming together. If two of you on earth, if two of you shall agree. You see, double duty plus perfect unity equals absolute victory. If two of you, number two, shall agree. Perfect unity. Perfect unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the ointment, the oil that runs down Aaron's head, down to his beard, down to the skirts of his garment. Two of you shall agree. Hey, listen to me. This day and time, it's hard to get folks to agree with each other. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about families. I'm talking about Baptists. I'm talking about President, I'm talking about Christians in general. It's hard to get us to agree on anything this day and time. But Jesus said there's perfect unity. We can agree on some things. And it's all right to agree to disagree on some things. We can still love each other, pray for each other, serve God together. It's like a marriage. It's like a family. We don't always agree on everything. But praise God, Jesus is saying, don't miss it. Number one, double duty, but number two, perfect unity. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, shall agree on earth as touching anything. You know one thing that I think we can agree together on, you know what it is? Eating. We all like to eat. We all like to eat. Did you hear about the three students in the class? Teacher said, I want y'all all three to bring an object lesson to school next week, and I want you to show and tell what it's all about. And so one of the students came before the class, held up a star, and she said, what's that? He said, it's the Star of David. I'm a Jew. She said, very good. The second student was a little boy. He brought a loaf of bread and said, here's my object lesson for today. She said, what is that? He said, it's bread. Jesus took bread and He broke it. She said, I'm a Catholic. He said, I'm a Catholic. Then a third little girl wasn't going to be denied. She brought a Tupperware bowl and held it up. And the teacher said, "What in the world? I saw a Star of David and the bread, Jesus, the bread of life, but what in the world is a Tupperware bowl?" And the little girl said, "I'm a Baptist, it's a casserole." It's all right to eat, not eat it, meet it, and beat it. But you know what I read in the Bible where the early church broke bread? They were getting together house to house. A lot of times when we break bread together, man, I'm able to encourage you and you're able to encourage me. I'm able to talk with you. Whereas I don't have time sometimes on Sunday, it's important to break bread together. But watch, perfect unity. If two of you shall agree, will you find somebody today agree with you? Will you find somebody today that agree with you? And I'll tell you two, the Lord put on my heart, two results of agreeing together. Number one, it releases the Father's blessing. It releases the Father's blessing. It does. It releases the Father's blessing. Number two, it makes the impossible possible. I said it makes the impossible possible. And not only that, but it makes the supernatural come into the natural. Number one. It releases the Father's blessing. How many want the Father's blessing today? Let me see your hand. Do you really? If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. If two of you shall agree on earth as you. We're not self-made men and self-made women, I'm telling you. And I'm just telling you, just as sure as we're sitting here and I'm standing here today, I need you to pray for me. And I believe you need me to pray for you. I had the privilege this morning before I came to church to pray for every one of you that's here by name. I had the privilege of praying for you. And I'm trusting you're praying for me. You're on my prayer list. I'm not saying that to brag or boast. But I believe one of the most important ministries I have as a pastor is to be a high priest, a shepherd, a mediator between God and you, and to cry out to our Father on behalf of His people that God will bless you, that God Almighty will pour down blessings, that God will protect us, that God will meet our needs, and that God will help us by His Spirit to be everything we can be in these days until He carries us home. I want the Father's blessing. Over there in Luke chapter 11, do you take prayer seriously or do you just throw it around? I know our newscast and now today we just use prayer as just a flippant idea. Prayer is communing with God. Prayer is real. Prayer is talking and listening to God. Oh, do you have a place you can go every day? Do you have a place you can go every day? I'm talking about, I understand, I pray in the car too, but it's nothing like having a secret place where you can go. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It releases the blessings of the Father. Let me tell you quickly in Luke chapter 11, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as Lord, teach me to pray." And then Jesus said, "Pray in this manner." You know the model prayer. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or our trespasses," as some translation put it, "as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever." I'm telling you, it releases the blessings of God when we pray in faith. Praying in faith, praying, believing according to the will of God. And Jesus made it clear. Listen to me. How many of your fathers in the house? Let me see your hand. If you're a father, Jesus said this: "What father, if his son asks him for bread, will he give him a stone? What father, if his son asks him for a fish, will he give him a serpent? What father, if his son asks him for an egg, will he give him a scorpion?" And then Jesus said, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give?" Matthew 7:11 says, "Good things to them that ask Him." Luke 11:13 says, "Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him." I'm telling you, if we're good to our children, how much, gooder's not a good word, but how much better is our heavenly Father to us? Woo! Glory! My Father's sure been good to me. My Heavenly Father's sure been good to me. My Father's been better to me than I've been to Him. My Father's been better to me than I deserve. And it releases the blessing of the Father. Don't you want the blessing from heaven today?
If two of you shall agree on earth, it's touching anything. Not only does it release the Father's blessing, number two, it makes the impossible possible. I'm talking about when you're in double, that is when when you're double duty plus perfect unity, when you're in unity with your brother, when you're in unity with your sister, it makes the impossible possible. It makes the supernatural natural. You say, how you get that, brother pastor? Mary was a virgin in Luke chapter 1. Gabriel, the angel, came to her and said, Mary, you're going to be found with child. How can this be? I've not known a man. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. You're going to be found with a baby. She said, how can this be? And the angel said, and Luke records, what's impossible with men is possible with God. Somebody needs to say amen there. Somebody needs to say, bless God. I see it, brother pastor, now. What's been impossible in the past is still possible. I'm still going to believe. I'm still going to believe. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to ask God for His glory to make the impossible possible, because the impossibility is possible, because we serve a God of possibility. His name is Jesus. Amen and amen. Oh, yeah. And so God says, there's some doors that are closed right now. You can't get through them. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them, my Father which is in heaven. God says there's some closed doors right now you're up against, but them doors are going to open, because God said, I'll set before you an open door. How many need God to open a door in your life today? How many need God to close some doors in your life today? All right. He can do it. He can do it. And then, do you know what? Speaking of the supernatural, turning into natural. Have you ever heard the name of John Patton? John Patton was a missionary to the Hebrides Islands. And the account historically records that John Patton was on this island, the Hebrides Island, he and his wife. And they were in the missionary compound, that is the home. And one day, natives came to their home. These were hostile natives. And these natives were determined to burn down their home and to murder John and his wife. John and his wife began to pray with each other. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. They could see the natives right outside the window. They knew they had blood in their eyes, but they began to pray. And hour after hour passed by, and for some strange reason, all night long they prayed. And the next morning they looked outside, and the natives were gone. They couldn't believe it. The Indian chief of those natives was gloriously saved a year later. And John Patton said to the Indian chief, he said, how do you explain it? He said, I saw y'all surrounding the compound. And the Indian chief said, we were going to murder y'all. We were going to burn down that compound and murder you. And John Patton said, why didn't you do it? The Indian chief said, who were all those men standing around the house? We saw 100 men in shining garments with swords in their hands. Who were those men? John knew that God had sent a band of his angels, a heavenly host, to circle around and about them. How many believe that God has the ability to send his mighty warring angels? Glory! 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 God sent them around him. The supernatural turns into the natural. There's a third part, prayer power, the need of the hour. Number one, double duty, if two of you. Number two, perfect unity, shall agree on earth. And then finally, number three, Double duty plus perfect unity equals absolute victory. If two of you should agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them. My Father which is in heaven, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Last but not least, absolute victory. Here's what God says He'll do. He said, I will bring you out, but I'll also bring you in. He brought the children of Israel out, but He brought them in. And God has not saved you to leave you flopping along the bank. And God has not saved you just to do your own thing and go your own way. God has saved you because He's got the much more. Listen to me. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Whosoever asketh, receive it. He that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. In Matthew 26 and 41, Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray, not the faint. In the Bible, in John chapter number 14 and verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In John 15, in the illustration of the vine and the branches, Jesus said, if you ready for this? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. I'm telling you, when the early church was in one accord in Acts chapter 1 and in Acts chapter 2, they prayed together and they were in unity. The fire fell, the glory came, the word of God grew, the church exploded, and God's work triumphantly marched forward. I'm telling you this, that in Romans 8 and 26 and 27, Paul said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not how to pray as we ought to pray, but the Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, because he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I'm telling you this, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul wrote and said, pray without ceasing. I'm telling you this, that over there in Hebrews 4 verses 15 and 16, therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm telling you this, John said in 1 John 5:14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition we desired of him. I'm telling you this, Jeremiah 33 and 3 is God's telephone number. Ring it today. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm telling you, God answers prayer according to his will. God answers prayer. God help us to pray. Prayer power, the need of the hour. Prayer power, the need of the hour. Jesus made it clear in Luke 21. We're living in the last days of the last days. How many believe that? These are the last days of the last days. I don't know when the Lord's coming, but I know this in Luke 21. He said, because of all the terrible things going on, terrible signs, we're living in troubled times. But wait a minute, there's power for the hour. I think I'll start shouting right there. There's power for the hour. It might look dim and might look ugly and might look hopeless around you, but I want you to know Jesus is bread to the hungry. He's water to the thirsty. He's rest to the weary. He's peace to the troubled. He's life to the dead. He is a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. He's hope to the hopeless. He's help to the helpless. He is a refuge that those that need a refuge. He's our mediator. He's our great high priest. And thank God, he's praying for us today. Woo! Glory! I need my Lord to pray for me. You say, where do you get back, Brother Pastor? In John 17. He's praying for his disciples. He's praying for all believers. He said there in John 17. But in Luke 21, I'll be done with this. In the last days, people's hearts are going to be failing with fear, scared. Well, now they're bailing out Spain, financial bailout, Greece and the EU and revive Roman Empire and And, you know, that's going to affect America and this national debt and this world debt. And brother and sister, look at your pastor real plain. I'm telling you, the coming of the Lord is drawing near. I'm telling you, this is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. I don't know when the Lord's coming, but I know this is sooner than it was when I woke up this morning. And I see things happening all around me. Not only the signs, bless God, I'm not looking for the signs anymore. I'm listening for the trumpet. He's coming in a cloud of glory. And here's what the Lord said. I'm going to leave you with this. He said, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. How many today would say, brother pastor, if two of you will agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Two or three gather together, I'm in the midst of them. I wonder if you'd stand to your feet this morning.